Good morning. It is good to be here with you all today. Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles together? God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good, you're kind, and you're loving, and there's no more appropriate time to say that than after we take the Lord's Supper together and we remember the cross, remember your goodness and your sacrifice, your kindness. So now, God, as we open your word, I pray that you would speak to us as you promised to do. You've said this is living and powerful, and when we read it, you speak to us. We ask that you would do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so today we turn a page. Not literally, figuratively. We turn a page figuratively. We've been with Moses and God's people in the wilderness for a minute. It's been several weeks. There were a lot of stories and that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the stories in the Old Testament, and there were a lot of stories around Moses, and we didn't even look at all of them. So, you know, maybe we're turning the page too soon, but be that as it may, we're turning a page today because now Moses is kind of going to fade a little bit and somebody else is going to come on the stage. So we're going to look at Joshua, the leader of God's people who came after Moses. So Moses was the leader, he brought them out of Egypt, brought them through the wilderness, and then Joshua comes on. And Joshua, and today is a good story, and I don't mean that in the way I've sometimes said it, where it's like, it's a good story, and then it's going to take a hard left turn, and it's going to be a really sad story, a don't do this story. Most of the good stories in that way, if you've seen that in the stories we've looked at in the Old Testament, not today's. Today's is a really good story. It's kind of a breath of fresh air. So look at Exodus. If you're observant, you'll notice I brought my reading glasses, which means we're going to read a lot today. So less of me talking, more of us reading, which that could be a good thing. So before Joshua becomes the leader of God's people, he actually serves under leadership. And that's another story for another day, but that's a pattern. It's if you're going to lead the way God wants you to, the people that God's put in your life, you have to submit to the leadership that God's put over you, because we're all under leadership and we all have leadership. And if you say, I don't, I mean, I know I'm under leadership, but I don't have any leadership. I don't lead anybody. Wait till the end. Let me see if I can tie it back together, and I can prove you wrong. Not that I want to, but I probably will. So just hang on till the end for that part. Look at Exodus chapter 24, and look at 12 and 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandments, which I've written for their instruction." So remember, Moses is going to go up the mountain. He's going to get the Ten Commandments. He's going to be there for a minute. So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua. So he was his assistant. He was Moses' assistant, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. So Moses and Joshua go up. Imagine that. You're Joshua. You're a young guy. You're Moses' assistant, which in and of itself, that's pretty cool. But now you're on the mountain with Moses and God, you see him talk to God, and then you rise a little bit in leadership, and Moses trusts you more. Now you're not just his assistant, you're the one he sends out to battle, not just out to battle, but in front of everybody, before everyone else. So go to Exodus chapter 17. Actually, this is before, so maybe I've got the chronological part wrong, but the point holds. Exodus 17, look at verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men." He's under leadership, but he has quite a bit of leadership. "Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the mountain with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek. With Moses, Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the mountain. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on each side, with the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. That the Lord said to Moses, "Write this as a memorial in the book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." So God's already foreshadowing. Joshua's going to be the leader. This is going to be instruction for him when he's in charge someday. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, "The Lord is my banner," saying, "A hand upon the throne of the Lord." The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So Moses was the leader, but Joshua served under him, and he served well. He served faithfully. Think about this. Joshua was one of the 12 spies that went into the land, and he was one of the two who came back with a good report. He was faithful not just to Moses in his leadership under Moses, he was faithful to God as he was leading the people with Moses. And then, as time went on, his leadership grew. His leadership grew, especially as Moses came to the end of his time on earth. Remember, Moses had disobeyed God before all the people, and so his punishment was also a public, big punishment. It was, "You won't get to go into the land, the promised land, the land you've brought the people to, the land you've promised them that they would receive. You'll die outside of the land. In fact, you're going to see it," which is a bittersweet thing. "You're going to see it, and then you're going to die." And so as that time is coming near, Joshua is about to ascend to the throne, if you will. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. We'll look at a couple of verses there. Deuteronomy 31, look at verse 1. "So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, 'I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you will not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go before you. He will destroy those nations before you, that you shall dispose them, and that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head.'" So now Joshua is going to be the leader. "As the Lord has spoken, and the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land as he destroyed them. And when the Lord gave them over to you, and you will do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear, be in dread of them." Remember that phrase. We're going to hear it over and over again. "For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Then Moses summoned Joshua. Moses talking to all the people. And then he said, calls Joshua. Said to him, "In the sight of all Israel," so this is a public coronation, if you will. I know, not he's not becoming king, but it's appropriate language. He summoned him, and in the sight of all of Israel, said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give to them, and you shall put them in possession of it." So Joshua was going to be the agent who would go before, and he would be the one who would put the people in possession of the land. "It is the Lord who goes before you." So Moses was very clear in the order of command. It's God. He's the leader, and then you're the leader under him, and then you're going to take the people with you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And then flip over to Deuteronomy 34, and Moses dies. God takes him up to a mountain, and it's a sad and also a beautiful story. Deuteronomy 34, verse 5, "So Moses, a servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows the place of his burial to this day." Think about that. God buried Moses. That's incredible. Moses walked with God. God loved him. He buried him. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed. That's saying something. And his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. So Joshua takes over. And in a bittersweet moment, Moses goes up to the mountain and talks with God and dies. And then God buries him. And then Joshua takes over the leadership and goes before the people. Now look at, I couldn't cut this reading down. We're going to read all of Joshua chapter 1. I know I should have edited it, but it's just, tell me later which verses I should have left out. I couldn't decide. Look at how God then comes. So Moses had stood before the people, put his hands on Joshua, and you'll notice that's a thing in the Bible, the laying on of hands, that when leadership is transferred, when big decisions are made, when people are conferred authority, Paul says to Timothy, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and he's talking in 1 Timothy It's either three or five, but he's talking in the context of establishing elders and deacons. So Moses did that. He laid his hands on Joshua, and he gave him authority, and then he received the spirit of wisdom from God, and then God comes to him, and God gives him the authority and the leadership that Moses had already passed on to him, but now it's from God. Look at Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to you, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea, and toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall depart from your mouth. It shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So God gives leadership to Joshua. He instructs him on how to lead. God tells him what kind of leader to be. And I tell you what, so much here, and I hate running over big texts like this, so take this and do a personal or a family devotion with this today, or stretch it out for a couple of days. Answer the question, what's the phrase that's repeated three times? And then what's the instruction in that phrase? And then each time there's a different reason given for doing that. And so what are the three different reasons for doing that thing? Answer those questions. Make a family devotional out of this text. It's a wonderful, wonderful text. But in summary, God's giving Joshua the leadership that Moses had. The difference, if you remember when God gave Moses the leadership, remember burning bush in the wilderness? What did Moses do? Can't do it. I can't. Help me. I can't. I don't want to do it. Send someone to go before me. I'm not able to do it. God had to just kind of twist his arm and make him do it. Joshua, that's not what he did. He just went along with it. God said, you're going to be the leader. You're going to go into the land. You're going to go in before the people. Okay, that's a wonderful, wonderful example of accepting leadership and responsibility. And then look at verse 10. So then Joshua takes over the leadership, and he sets up what will now be the rest of his time on earth, actually. Look at verse 10. Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are going to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So he says, okay, God said we're going to go in, get ready. This is what we're going to do. I'm giving you instructions. I'm going to go before you, but you're going to go with me, and we're going to go on together. We're going to obey God. Jump down to verse 16. I did cut a little bit, didn't I? And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us to do, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So they go with Joshua. They enter into the land with him. They say, we're with you, and it turns out they are. And they enter into the land. They cross the Jordan River. They march around Jericho. They take the land. They possess the land. Joshua divides it among the people. He gives them their assignments, and the rest of his life is spent helping the people take over the land and enter into the promised land, and he does it, and he does it well. He takes what God has given him, and he accomplishes it. And look at now how the story ends. Look at Joshua 23. Now Joshua is getting to the end of his life. Oops, jumped over to Judges. Okay, Joshua 23, verse 1. Long time afterwards, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years. This is where we saw Moses, right, at the end of Deuteronomy. Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, I'm now old and well advanced in years. and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake, for it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. So he had given his life to bringing the people to the promised land, and then his leadership to bringing them into the promised land, and he had done it, and he had done it well, and it's what his life was accounted for, and he did it. He brought them into the promised land, and so now he's able to say, we did that. We did that together. We're here, and it was God who gave it to us. Jump down to verse 6. Therefore, be very strong. Now, he's telling the people to do what God had told him to do and what the people had told him to do when he took over leadership. Now, be very strong to keep, and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them, but you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done to this day. So he's getting to the end of his life, and he's still guiding them. Still being their leader. He's still saying, listen, follow God the way you told me to do. Remember when I took over leadership, you said be strong, courageous, and obey God, and we'll go with you. And then you obey God, and we'll obey you. And now you guys keep obeying God. I'm about to leave. He was still leading, even in his old age, and as he was about to exit, he till the end, he was telling them, serve God. He was guiding them. And that this is what makes Joshua such a good leader. All of his life, from the time he was a spy, from that went up the mountain with Moses, he was a spy in the land, and came back and said to the people, no, you can go in, you can take the land. All through his life, as he led the people to conquer the land, throughout his whole life, he was guiding the people into service of God, into knowing God, into getting closer to God. He was taking the people by the hand and taking them to God. That's what he did throughout his whole leadership. That's why he was a good leader. Not just because he took the people in, to the land and they conquered the land. That was good. That's a good leader. But even more than that, he took the people to God. He brought the people to serve God. Look at Joshua 24, the very end. Look at verse 23. Joshua 24, 23. You can keep reading there. Again, another good family devotion where we left off in chapter 23. Just keep reading through chapter 24 all the way down to 23 where we're going to read now. That would be a good, maybe if you're done with chapter 1 by Tuesday or Wednesday and take a couple days with it, then Wednesday, family devotion or your own personal devotion, read chapter 23 and 24 and look at Joshua's charge to the people, how he tells them to serve God. And say, okay, what did that mean to them? What could that mean to me? But I distract myself. Let's come back. Joshua chapter 24, verse 23. And he said, now then put away the foreign gods that are among you. Sorry, got lost. And incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it is heard all the words that the Lord has spoken to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. After these things, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Didn't make it as long as Moses did. And they buried him in his own inheritance. And then look down, verse 31. Joshua served the Lord Israel, so the people after him, served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the work the Lord had done for Israel. So his life ended with an incredible legacy, not just the people taking the land of Canaan and inhabiting the promised land, but the people serving God after him. Why? Because he had led them to God. They learned how to serve God with him and by watching him and through him, and they continued to serve God. He was a good leader of God's people. He went before them, and he led them to God. And you say, well, so what does this story have to do with us? This is a story that it ended well. We could just end it there, and we could. But, it's kind of one of those stories that when you read it and you say, he was such an incredible leader for them, It's one of those stories that you're like, what about me? What about us? I mean, it's one of those, it's like when people tell you about their perfect life. You know, they tell you about their incredible marriage or their kids who are just awesome, or their job that is, you know, so much better than yours, or the new car that they have, or you know, whatever. And you're like, oh, that's so nice. And inside you're going, and what about me? What about us? What about us? And we look around and we say, why can't we have leaders like Joshua? Why can't we have leaders like Joshua today? Credible leader, finished well, started well. He led the people into the land. They made progress. They didn't waste their life. They lived a life full of purpose. Why can't? There's nobody like him. Leaders that I have, that we have, they're no way they compare to Joshua. Who would be like him? But the thing is, we have a better leader than Joshua. We have a better leader than Joshua. You say, what about me? I want a good leader. Well, we have one who's even better than Joshua because Jesus is our leader. And in that way, the story of Joshua and Joshua's life takes us to Jesus. Actually, it takes us to Jesus literally because Jesus shows up in the story of Joshua. Go back to, or maybe you're still there, go to Joshua chapter 5. One of the most interesting little tidbits. Go to Joshua 5, verse 13. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him. So now they've crossed over the river, and the first city state they're going to take is Jericho, and it has this huge wall around it, and there's no way to get in. And Joshua's, you know, like a good leader, out looking around, thinking, what are we going to do? When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but I'm the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. He said, commander of the army of the Lord. So like an archangel or something, or it was Jesus. Because look at what Joshua does. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped him. And said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Now, any time in the Bible when an angel appears, normally, I haven't looked at all the times, so I don't know if I can say every time, but every time that I can think of, whenever an angel appears, people fall to the ground because they're glorious beings, and they appear and they fall to the ground and they worship them. And what do the angels say? What did the angels say to John in the book of Revelation? Stand up, I'm a servant like you, right? Worship him, worship God. The angels don't let people, humans, worship them. That would be blasphemous. They would be demons, not angels, if they did that. So Joshua falls down and worships this being, the commander of the army of the Lord. And the commander of the army of the Lord's army said to Joshua, stand up, don't worship me. No. He took the worship. He said, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy. And Joshua did so. He was the commander of the army of the Lord. He appeared a God appearing in human form. He let himself be worshipped. This was a pre incarnate appearance of Jesus. Now, Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None came and went, and none came went out, and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. It was the Lord. It was the Lord who was talking to Joshua. Jesus shows up literally in the story of Joshua. Jesus, God the man, God the Son of God, he shows up and talks with Joshua, and he gives him the battle plan. For how they're going to take the city of Jericho. It's an incredible story. Jesus literally shows up in the story of Joshua. So Joshua, in that way, takes us to Jesus. But even more so, Joshua takes us to Jesus in a figurative way, because in the same way that Jesus was his leader, Jesus is our leader, and Joshua, the great leader, well, his leadership was merely a pointer or a shadow of the leadership of Jesus, the commander of the Lord's army, the one that we serve, our great leader. Jesus is the true and perfect leader. Joshua is a great leader. Jesus is the true and better, the true and perfect leader, the better Joshua. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. One more verse. We're jumping everywhere, but this one ties in. This one makes sense. This is another leader of God's people, Peter, one of the apostles who was one of the decision makers in the church in Jerusalem. So he says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ Jesus. So he's talking, a leader, Peter, one of the senior leaders, talking to the other elders of congregations. So he's talking, a leader talking to leaders. And then he gives them some instructions. And then look down at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Jesus is the chief shepherd, the commander of the army of the Lord. He's our leader. He's the chief shepherd. Whoever the earthly leaders that we have in front of us in God's kingdom, Jesus is the chief of them. He's the chief shepherd. Jesus is the true and perfect leader. He's the better leader. Joshua was a great leader. Jesus is a better leader, and he's our leader. He's our leader. Jesus is our shepherd. There's a phrase that's knocked around. I'm not the first one to say this, so I'm borrowing this from other people who have said it. But there's a phrase that's used. You know, sometimes churches will say, he's our senior pastor. Unless they're talking about Jesus, that's wrong. The elders, the pastors, they're all junior elders, junior pastors under Jesus. The senior pastor, the chief shepherd, Jesus is the senior shepherd of his flock. We're followers of Jesus, and he leads us, and he is the true and better leader. So what should we do? We look at Joshua, and we look at even a greater leader. And when you look at an incredible leader like Joshua, and then you look at an even better leader like Jesus, if there's anything that comes out of that, to me, it would be inspiration. It would be, I should be a good leader. I should be a good leader. I should be a good leader like Joshua was. And even more so, I should be a good leader like Jesus was. If they were such incredible leaders and they lived, Joshua lived his life and he finished well, and Jesus did nothing but finish well. If Jesus is still leading us to this day, incredible examples of leadership. Shouldn't I be a good leader? And you say, well, yeah, but I'm not a leader. See, that's why maybe this sermon is like for two or three people here, right? The ones that we know are the leaders. It is, but it's not. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. You know why? I don't care if you don't have a title of leader. Even at your job, doesn't matter. I don't care if I'm kind of a timid person. I'm not the one to take charge in front of the group. I'm not a leader. This doesn't apply to me. It does. You are, because we all lead other people. We all lead other people. We all have people that we can guide to God. People who are in our lives that we can guide to God. And as we do that, we are leading them. So who are the people in your life? Who are the people that you have influence over? Not in a manipulative way, but they look up to you. You say, let's do this, and they say, yeah, let's do that. The people that you guide. You guide them in other ways. You guide them at work. You guide them in your family. Who are the people around you that God's put in your life? The people that look up to you. The people who... And he said, I don't know, no one looks up to me. Yeah, somebody does. Maybe it's a nephew, maybe it's a niece, maybe it's a granddaughter, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's one of your children, maybe it's that person at work who's always like following you around. There's somebody in your life who looks up to you, sometimes literally, sometimes figuratively, but they listen to you. They're people that you could guide towards Jesus. Who's that person in your life? And if you have at least one, Then we're connecting. And if you probably have several people that you can think of right off the bat. I live with three people, right? And so that's three on my list right away. So listen, how can you guide those people to God? How can you be like Joshua? How can you be like Jesus? How can you incorporate the best part of their leadership, which is they guided people, and Jesus continues to guide people to his Father? How can you guide people, those people, to God? What can you do? First thing, to guide people to God, can't take people where you're not. And so if you are not in a relationship with God, if you have not given yourself to him, you can't guide someone else to him. You can't guide someone to give themselves to Jesus, to become a follower of Jesus, and repent and be baptized. You can't get in the water and baptize someone if you haven't given yourself to Jesus. So if you want to truly guide people to God, that is an incredible reason to say, I want to become a Christian. I want to give myself to Jesus. I want to repent and be baptized, and I want to follow him because I want to guide this person and that person to God, and I can't do it if I've never pulled the trigger and made my own decision. That's a good reason to become a Christian. That's That's a big reason. I'll tell you the story some other day. That's a big reason why I became a Christian. There were many other reasons. That was the day when I said, I got to do it. There was a guy named Ted who lived down the block, and I was telling the gospel to him, and I'd been praying for him and talking the gospel to him, and then it hit me. The Spirit hit me. It's like, wait a second. How can I be telling him he needs to become a Christian, and he needs to get baptized, and I haven't done it yet. I need to become a Christian. And so I told my dad, and that was Saturday, and I shouldn't have waited. Waited till the next day, but anyway, became a Christian. That's a good reason to become a Christian. And if you say, I need to make that decision, then tell someone here. You can repent and you can be baptized. And if you are a Christian, how do we lead people to God? Okay, who are your people? Who are the people that you have influence over? Younger, older than you, doesn't matter. How can you guide them to God? What are the daily things you can do? Like, can you pray for them every day? I try to pray for my boys and my wife every day and some other people every day. I try to. We should. Can you read the Bible with them every day? Every time I preach this, I'm like, oh, I need to read the Bible with my boys at night. Even when I'm tired, I need to go into the room and open up my YouVersion app and read to them. And I do it sometimes. I need to do it every day. If you have people who live in your house with you that you guide, there's no excuse for us not reading the Bible with them every day. That's just... There's no excuse for that. I'm saying that to me, and if it hits on you, great. Can you ask them to study with you? Can you do a Peace with God study or some other study? Can you read through the book of John together, and can you study and guide them to salvation? Can you talk to them about their spiritual life or ask them or explain the gospel to them? How can you guide those people in your life that you have influence over, that listen to you? How can you guide them to Jesus? If you're a Christian, now's the time as we pray. Let the Spirit talk to you and give you ideas and say, that's the person. That's the person you need to be guiding. And this is what you could do. This is what you can start doing to guide them to me. Let's be leaders like Joshua. Let's be leaders like Jesus. And let's guide other people to him. Why don't we stand and we'll pray together. And then we'll sing. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so, so very good. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, God, that you lead us to yourself. So I pray that you would help us to lead other people to you too. In this moment, God, I would ask that through your Spirit that you would show us the people in our lives that you've put in our lives for the sole purpose of us leading them to you. Then give us the discipline and give us the courage, give us the words to guide them, to put in the work, to read the Bible with them, to study with them, to pray for them, to guide them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.